Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter.
Hurry for the lead.
Welcome to an all-new Dubstock, an emergency podcast. Dubstock presented by Wendy's. Right now at Wendy's, get two breakfast sandwiches for just $4. Yes, this is an emergency podcast because it is free agency and things are happening. So we need to talk about it and then we analyze it. And don't worry, everybody, as big news comes through, we will keep updating you. As of now, right now, we're recording this at 12:20 Pacific time. So if anything comes through, we will keep you abreast and we'll talk about it as well. Grant Lifman, Kendra Andrews here. So let's start with the big one. And for many, everyone's looking at what's next, who can you fill out the roster with, et cetera, et cetera. But most importantly to the franchise, there's an expectation of a signing. And Kendra, which signing is that?
Warriors fans can rejoice. Steph Curry. Steph has agreed to a four-year, $215 million contract extension with the Warriors, putting him in Golden State through the 2025-26 season. Steph, of course, coming off of that MVP candidate season just last year, just a couple months ago. And clearly, you know, the Warriors front office has faith that this is going to continue on for the next 4 years. When they talk about this window now, this championship window that they're trying to take advantage of, we now have bigger parameters. They see that as at least 4 years. So the Warriors fans can take a deep breath because their centerpiece, their star, is coming back.
Absolutely. Completely agree. And if you saw, I looked at my phone, I see notifications coming in. So I want to keep everyone, you know, just always be making sure what's going on. And you nailed it. It's just such a massive deal. I do think maybe part of this is gamesmanship by the Warriors to tell everybody that this is going to be happening soon so that free agents go, wait, oh, that's nice to hear. But, you know, I look at the numbers and you're going to have Steph Curry for another 5 years for now. And yes, he will get up there in age and we'll also, you know, he'll be 38 years old when it's all done. But at the end of the day, also, you're talking about a guy whose skill set is designed for longevity and somebody that can survive the rigors. Now, he runs so much around the court, maybe eventually that kind of slows down a little bit, but the guy keeps himself so much in shape, mentally, physically. I think it's a safe bet. And we talk about the window, Kendra, and you've mentioned it. Yeah, it's the window is not just this year. The window is the next few years. And that's why the Warriors are excited about their Moody and Kuminga picks, because they hope that that will maybe extend the window. But they need to win now, right? That's just, it's a fact. But we're talking about the amount of money. And I have to say, I need to express some disappointment with Steph Curry, Kendra. Mm-hmm. I need to get this off my chest. When he joined us on the pod just months ago, he promised us that he would announce the signing on this podcast.
Right.
He said, he was like, he tried to remember the date that he was allowed to sign. Now, technically speaking, he has not made an announcement yet, right? This has just come from Woj and others. But I'm at the point where it's like, Steph, text us because you promised us.
You're right. You should go tweet at him right now. We know that he checks his mentions. We know that he likes your tweets that you tag him in. So I think calling him out on this day for him is probably the best decision that you can make to get him on this pod right now.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
We'll wait. We'll be here.
Come on, Steph. We'll be here. It's massive. They lock up the core guys for a long time and just – having Steph Curry, there is no amount of money. Well, I'm sure there actually is some amount of money that is makes it, you know, that he's worth. But whatever money that ends up happening, $50 million a year, trust me, the Golden State Warriors are making a lot more, exponentially more, because Steph Curry's on the team than whatever he's being paid. So super exciting for the Golden State Warriors and somebody that you can build your franchise around for years to come. Look what Chris Paul's doing at his age and how impactful he can be. And then just think about Steph Curry, who arguably had the best season of his entire career. So that's just crazy. All right, Kendra. So let's kind of shift here to free agency. And let's first talk about the people they have gotten so far. And it's two minimum deals that they are expected to sign and agree to. Who we got?
Yeah, Grant, they got Nemanja Bjelica and Otto Porter Jr. two guys who are really going to help, I think, spread the floor for the Warriors. They're two guys that are going to help with spacing. They're two decent shooters. They're also two guys, well, more so Otto Porter Jr. with an injury history that really, you know, limited him this last season. But when you think back to when he was a member of the Washington Wizards, he was a max contract guy. So clearly he has the skill set, he has the tools to be that caliber of players. And he's a name that you mentioned, Grant, when we talked a couple months ago about guys looking to revitalize their careers after injury. So he definitely fits that bill. And the Warriors are hoping to get a little bit out of him of what he was with the Washington Wizards.
All reports said that he's going to be demanding at least the taxpayer mid-level exception. And yet then reports come out that he did get those offers and turn them down to take a minimum deal with the Warriors, which just shows that he's betting on himself for a guy that perhaps, you know, if he were scared about his injury history or what's about to happen with where his health is, you'd think he would have taken more money. But in this case, he's betting on himself. He thinks he's healthy. He's going to come in. And really, again, if you get the Otto Porter Jr. of 2 years ago, the Warriors just hit a jackpot. Like, you're talking about a guy on a minimum deal who's a 6'8 wing, very versatile, who shoots mid-40s on catch-and-shoot threes, over 40% in his career from three. He is just a really just a solid player. And if he actually is anything like that, the Warriors, again, just hit a jackpot. The question, of course, you can't just assume all these things. You can't assume his health. There's a reason he's coming to them on such a low deal. And that is why it's still a low-risk deal, because they're not using the taxpayer mid-level exception. That resource is still there. And then we talk about Nemanja Bjelica, 6'10", stretch big. He's the type of guy that I like to, let's say, the Houston Rockets, the way they use Ryan Anderson in the past, spread the floor, move him a couple feet behind the three-point line. He has the range to hit there. He's somebody who shot 39% for his career from three. You put him out there, and that spreads the floor. You put Draymond Green with him. That helps with spacing. Draymond can find him, can help him on the defensive end as well. He's not known for being a great defender, but again, there's a reason why these guys are coming on a minimum, right? They're not going to be perfect players, but they're players that can fit a role and make the Warriors better. So we look at that and we look at the players that are coming, but Kendra, there are a couple names that Warriors fans are probably very disappointed about. And the Warriors themselves are like, ooh, maybe we had a chance at these guys and didn't get them. So do you want to run through those guys?
Yeah, Grant, I think that there's two names right now that fall under that category. One of them is Nick Batum, who's going back to the Clippers. The other is Patty Mills, who is going to the Brooklyn Nets. Those two guys were on the Warriors list to help fill out their roster, that bench. But, you know, there's a number of reasons that they may have not decided to come to Golden State. We can't speculate. We don't know any of those reasons. But it is a bit of a hit to the Warriors, to fans who saw, you know, the potential, what those guys could bring to this team. But, you know, we're only in the second day of free agency, that there's so many other guys that they can still go after. But seeing those two names who were probably, at least for us, I know that they were on the higher side of our list of potential targets, it is a bit of a sting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those guys fit perfectly in my mind. Now, the interesting thing about both those guys is they both got multi-year deals. And I do wonder, is it possible? And again, this is speculation, that maybe that's a hitch that's happening right now where the Warriors don't want to give multiple years to these guys. Maybe they're trying just for a one-year deal, and that is kind of changing things a little bit as well. Because the money reasons, like, the Warriors can afford both those contracts. They have the ability to pay those contracts. For Nick Batum, he had a great year with the Clippers. It makes sense if he just wants to live his life in LA and just is happy there, and his situation was great. For Patty Mills, many thought that, and there was serious interest between the two of them. There was mutual interest. What was the deciding factor to go to the Nets? We don't know. Maybe he just thought they're a better title contender. It makes sense. They are the ones, they're the favorites. So it makes sense if he chose that. But again, what do the Warriors do from here? That is the question. They still have their taxpayer mid-level exception. Another player, Kendra, that we didn't name is Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay signed with the Utah Jazz. So now you put him out of the equation as well. Those are three guys that were targets at the taxpayer mid-level exception. there are still guys out there that they could use part of it for, or use all of it for if they want to, like a Paul Millsap, who you like as well. But let's talk about guards here for a second. Mm-hmm. They need a veteran guard. Before the offseason really started, Bob Meyer said they need a stretch big. They got that, Nemanja Bjelica. They said the wings positions are just, it's dry. There's not much out there. Well, they got one potentially in Otto Porter, potentially being because of his health. They also said they need a veteran guard. And that's why it stung about Patty Mills. But here are some names. And again, we are recording this at, now it's 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday. So I just want to make sure that if something changes, just in that regard. Here are the names. Reggie Jackson, who really came on for the Clippers last playoffs. And I just expect him to get a bigger deal. But I mean, money's drying up. I still think he'll get a bigger deal than the Warriors can give. George Hill, his option was declined, as we expected. He is somebody that definitely could fit the bill for the Warriors in that guard position. Length, shoots the three. He could be perfect. Also a veteran with a lot of postseason experience. Kendrick Nunn, lefty. He's a scorer. He's a younger side, and he started with the Warriors. So he knows their system very well. They know Kendrick Nunn very well. Potentially they can grab him now that the Heat pulled away their qualifying offer for him. He's an unrestricted free agent. The Warriors could go after him. Avery Bradley is a name that the Warriors have been connected to for quite some time. Just a defensive, a lockdown type guy for the guard position. He's been around a long time as well. A good shooter. He is somebody that has interested the Warriors before. Maybe they kind of go for it now. Other names. Lou Williams, Sweet Lou. I know some Warriors fans have always dreamed about Sweet Lou on their team. He's getting up there in age. He's not the same player. Definitely not good defensively, but he can still get some buckets. And so Sweet Lou is an option. Sorry, Kendra, I'm going to give a couple more here. Bryn Forbes is not a point guard, but he is a guard, and he shoots the rock. He played really well for the Bucks this year. He's somebody the Warriors could bring in for more spacing. And finally, Raul Neto is not a guy that a lot of people know very well, but Neto played really well this season. He's a point guard type, scrappy guy. He is somebody the Warriors could target again. Now I'm going to breathe for a second. Kendra, do any of those names really pop out to you most?
Well, those are good names. And I'll just start by saying I agree that the Warriors really need to hone in on targeting a veteran guard. Yes, I like Paul Millsap. Yes, the fact that the Nuggets now signed Jeff Green and re-signed Jamichael Green pretty much means that Paul Millsap's time in Denver is over and he would be far more available for the Warriors. However, they do need to pivot. As you mentioned, they kind of checked those two boxes of areas of a wing and a big that they needed. So now it's about the guard. It was a long list of names that you put out there, Grant. I'm not going to lie. Half of them I've already forgotten, as there's just so much filling my head right now.
Yeah, I understand. If I'm looking at the list, Kendra, I would say probably the ones that intrigue me the most right now. I think Reggie Jackson is going to sign for more money. Just a feeling I have. Kendrick Nunn really just popped out to me because he can score a little bit, but George Hill and Avery Bradley are the vets that you'd probably want in that situation.
Those are two names that if they showed up on your front doorstep, you wouldn't want to say no, because they have a very proven, all of these guys have proven histories of what they can do, but particularly those two players have gone from different teams and from team to team throughout their years and really shown that they can continue to make impacts and adapt very nicely on different teams with different groups. And that's what the Warriors need, is even with veterans, sometimes there's still a learning curve. And again, we've heard so many times, particularly playing with Steph Curry, that there is a learning curve, whether you're a rookie or a veteran player. So the more adaptable these players are, the better. And those two guys have a history of being able to do that. And then also really thriving in those different environments.
Absolutely. It's about assimilating into a team. Now, again, I think the Warriors would be hesitant to give a few of those guys the taxpayer mid-level exception. That is a lot of money. Could they land them on a minimum? I do not know, but that's the route they would want to go if they're going to take in any of these guys, because you still want that available if a big fish falls on them. But to be honest, there's not that many big fish left.
Graton Resort and Casino is your destination for 24/7 fun. Experience luxurious rooms, award-winning dining, world-class spa and salon, and the best gaming and entertainment around. Visit GratonResortCasino.com to book your 24/7 fun.
My question to you then is, we're looking around the landscape of the NBA. Dennis Schroeder has not signed yet. Reggie Jackson, a few others. But Kelly Oubre Jr. also has not signed yet. And cap space is drying up, Kendra. So at some point, you start having to wonder, A, would the Warriors maybe consider bringing him back, even though it didn't seem like Oubre really wanted to come back? Or B, does this mean a sign and trade is more likely?
It's feeling as though a sign and trade is more likely. And I know that you do a great job, and I'll like toss it back to you in order to break down all of the steps that would take, because it's your bread and butter. I know you live for breaking down the possibilities and scenarios of a sign and trade, but just looking, as you mentioned, looking at the landscape right now. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're less than, I think we were just now 24 hours into free agency, right? I think it started 24 and a half hours ago as we're recording this.
Even less. It started at 3 p.m. At
3 p.m. Yeah. Okay. So we're 21 hours into this and it has just been moving at warp speed. And you're right that that is a name that, in my opinion, was kind of like one of the first things the Warriors had to deal with almost. You know, you if he's not coming back, you want to free up that space and figure out exactly what you're working with. But as teams are moving so quickly, you do start asking, okay, well, where is the possible landing space? Not only has he not, no decision been made, but there isn't much word of any conversations. You know, we heard those reports from a couple weeks ago or so of the New York Knicks maybe being interested in Kelly Oubre or different teams like that. But recently there hasn't been anything. So it definitely makes you scratch your head. I agree with you that it did not seem that Kelly Oubre Jr. wanted to return to the Warriors. I think many of us kind of put that to rest and said, he's not coming back, move forward. Let's plan the team without him. It would honestly be weird to kind of flip that and say, okay, wait, so he is coming back. It just feels a little unnatural, is a strong word, but for lack of a better term, unnatural. But I mean, can you break down for us just what everything that would go into a sign and trade? Because if I remember correctly, the last time we talked about it, there were a lot of caveats and different things that would have to work for it to happen.
Yeah, no, it's very complicated, but the number one thing was Kelly Oubre would have to want to do a sign and trade. That is number one, first and foremost. And the reason why he'd want to is if there's more money on the table with a team that doesn't have the cap space. So he has to make it work. So he has to tell the Warriors, oh yeah, I'll sign and trade because I get more money with this team. That's the scenario that's starting to play out. The Spurs have enough money to sign him outright. Sure. Maybe the Charlotte Hornets, there are some teams that could, but I don't know if they want to. So you now are looking at, I guess, technically speaking, he could end up on a team for the mid-level exception, not the taxpayer. Well, they could do that as well, but it could be like the $9 million mid-level exception with the team, and he could just bet on himself again. But in this case, you do wonder if he sees an opportunity to make more money, he has to go to the Warriors and be like, listen, I'll do a sign and trade. You have to go there. Maybe you have to send a second round pick back. You'd have to take back a little salary, but you'd get a trade exception out of it. Options are opening up potentially in the Kelly Oubre world, ones that probably didn't exist before. I know a lot of people thought maybe Oubre would just go to a team that has plenty of cap space and will just say, oh yeah, I'll do a sign and trade. He has to want to do that. And I don't fully know if he really wanted to do that.
Right. When you look at why we're even in this situation with Kelly Oubre, you know, seemingly wanting out for the Warriors, and a lot of it had to come down to role. So you have to then also take in, okay, where would the money allow him to go, where he would have the role that he wants? He clearly thinks that he is a starting caliber player, which, great, you know, he definitely has a case for that. But where exactly is he going to find that? Is he going to find a bigger opportunity? Because look, even if he stayed with the Warriors, if he wasn't starting, he would surely be at the top of their rotation. So where can you get better than that, guaranteed, in addition to whatever salary he's looking for? And it's going to be something to keep an eye on, because I don't know what is out there right now that would fill both of those wants that he has.
Well, also just keep in mind that the signing of Otto Porter Jr., I mean, if he is healthy, yeah, that takes on the the Kelly Oubre role potentially. Yeah. So I just don't know how it would work, but yeah, it's interesting. So much more. We will stay with you. And if we need to do some emergency pods, we will. We're putting out videos about some transactions that are happening. Stay with us. This is Dubs Talk, an emergency podcast brought to you by Wendy's. Grant Liff and Kendra Andrews, thank you so much for joining.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.